handout there and get your crayon or your pen or your pencil or whatever you might have and fill in the blanks. We are done with our minor prophets study. We've worked our way through them. And so I'm not sure where we're going next. I'm praying for some direction. And so tonight, we're going to look at a lesson on giving out the message of our faith. And our text for tonight is Mark chapter 16, a rather familiar passage to many of us. Mark chapter 16, and somebody stole Mark 16. There it is, Mark 16. You may not be aware of this, and you know we're very King James Bible. We believe it's the only Bible. It's the Word of God. But there are many people and theologians who say, well, you know, the last, from verse 9 on in Mark 16, really don't belong in the Bible. Isn't that interesting? All of a sudden, men decide they know more than God. What ought to be in the Bible and what shouldn't? They say, well, you know, the best manuscripts, well, we've got the best manuscript you can have right in your hand. Mark chapter 16, I want to begin with verse 14. It says, afterward he, Jesus, appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. Fellows are having a meal. Probably Baptists, huh? As they sat at meat. And look what it says. And upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Hey, this is his 11. Wow. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, that he believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. By the way, those were special gifts given to the apostles. I read about a snake handler, about a month, maybe 2 months ago. You know, there are people who think they can do that based on this verse. Well, he got bit, and he's in heaven right now, I guess, if he was saved. He got bit, and he died. These aren't for us today, and of course they were, though, for the apostles. We remember Paul got bit. Verse 19, so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Look at the next verse. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs and following. Amen. Father, we come tonight looking to your word once again. Oh, we get so frustrated with the scoffers and the skeptics and the theologians who try to correct your word. But we know you've given it to us just as you would want us to have it. And Lord, we come now to this passage we've read. There's a challenge there for us. There's a need we need to understand, and there's a work we need to be willing to do. Help us to see our responsibility tonight, and help us to be willing to allow you to work through us to get the message of our faith out. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The emphasis, the importance of what we're looking at tonight is the giving out of the message of faith. We're going to focus on this idea of distributing the faith, delivering it to others, handing it off, so to speak, handing it out, scattering it around like we would seed. Listen, we have the faith. And when I say the faith, we're talking about the understanding of the gospel, the understanding of the need of salvation. We have that. Why is it we're so willing to keep it to ourselves? There's a world out there that needs it. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus gives a very direct command. You say, well, that was only to the 11. Oh, no. That's to his disciples. That command carries to us. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those are his instructions. You know, one thing I like about the Bible is God makes his instructions very clear, easy to understand, very well defined. But the scope of what he says there, so enormous. Take the gospel to the world, to every creature. Oh, it seems like it's an impossible task. But God has a plan. And the plan is us. The plan is every believer. That's how the gospel would get around the world. If every believer would do what they're supposed to do, the gospel would get spread. Think about if you were willing to talk to people. And then they got saved, then they went and talked to people, and then they got saved, then they went and talked to people, and all these, it's multiplying. That's what God intended. But you know why it's not getting done? It's breaking down with the individual. Individuals are not doing their job, and consequently, there's no multiplication. Why? We think it's fortunate if there's just addition. That means one just winning one. But that's not what God intended. God intended one winning many. And then those many winning many. 11 disciples he has here. Do you realize when Jesus ascended into heaven, he left the work in the hands of just 11 men? Think about that. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He's talking there in that context to just 11 men. He's leaving, and this is going to be in their lap. This is your job. This is your call. Take the gospel to the whole world. And the next generation, the faith, would whether it continued for the next generation or not, is going to hinge on these men obeying those instructions. I don't know about you, but I think that's a pretty heavy weight for those fellas. See, if they decided, well, I'm not going to do what Jesus said to do, and they got together and they said, look, I know what the Lord said. We all heard him say it. By the way, everybody in here has heard that command, haven't you? Nod your little head like this. Yes, you did. We've all heard the command. Just like these 11 all heard the same command. Just think if they all got together and said, okay, we heard the command, but we don't think we can do it. So we're just going to keep it among us. We're saved. We know we're going to heaven. We've trusted the Savior. We're just going to keep it right here among us. Can you imagine? The gospel would have never been delivered to another person if those 11 had said, I'm not going to do it. Ultimately, that means you would have never heard the gospel. Aren't you glad they did what they were supposed to do? Huh? See, the main factor that's going to determine whether our faith continues to go forth into the days ahead is whether or not God's people are going to be faithful to give out the message. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Nobody gets saved till somebody shares the gospel. Jesus gives these instructions. And I love the fact that these disciples, as we read, immediately got busy and functioned as true messengers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now they're examples to us. Well, we want to look, Mark chapter 16, I want to look at verse 20, and we're going to kind of focus on that tonight. Number one, we're going to see the activity of the messengers. These are now the messengers of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, they went forth. Did you see that? See, going forth is the initial step. You know, if you're going to go on a journey, you got to take the first step. Did you get that? If I want to be over there, I've got to begin with the first step, the initial step. If I never take that step, I'm never going to get over there. Nothing is going to happen till we determine I am going to go forth. At some point, the discussing, the debating, the considering has to conclude, and we have to come to the place where we say, we've talked enough and debated enough, or whatever you want to do. We got to put feet to it and get going. Jesus said, go ye. Listen, when he said, go ye into all the world, he's implying that the world is not going to come to us. Have you figured out that the Bible never commands lost people to come to church? Did you ever see it in your Bible? God never commands lost people to come to church. He commands church people to go to the lost. Go to highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye and teach all nations. The emphasis is always on the ones who know, the ones who have the message, taking it to those who do not have it. Now, we're very glad when unsaved people come to church. But God's plan is for the church to go out and bring the lost to Christ. Somebody said they will not come unless they're sought, and they will not learn unless they're taught. Very pointed. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. We know these verses. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In the verses there, before the sower comes again, bringing his sheaves with him, he has to first go forth and sow. Going forth is the initial step. And that's where most believers fail. You fail to take that first step of being willing to go. Thursday night, how many will come out and go? Why aren't you going? If you don't go, how are you going to talk to anybody? You know, the reason we set up a time on Thursday night is to try to encourage you to take that first step. To make a decision, I'm going to go at this time on this day. Because if we don't put it on our schedule, we're probably not going to do it. They went forth. Going forth is the initial step. Figured this out a long time ago. Brother Stan's a fisherman. Brother Stan, I figured this out. I can't catch fish in my living room. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If you want to catch fish, you got to go to where the fish are. They aren't going to come to you. I've never in my life had a fish come to my door and say, I'm coming. If I want a fish, I got to go out there and find a fishing hole and fish. How much fishing you been doing? A little quiet. Going forth is the instructed step. In every one of the Gospels, Jesus gives the same command, not in the same words, but in each one, he reveals that need to go. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Go. Mark, we've seen verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 14:23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. In John 20:21, he says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Every one of the Gospels gives that same command. How many of you know the name Dr. Curtis Hudson? All right, he used to be the editor of the Sword of the Lord. He built a great church down in Atlanta, Georgia. He was a mailman who got saved by reading the Sword of the Lord when he delivered it. And then he was invited to where Dr. John R. Rice was preaching. And Dr. John R. Rice was all about soul winning. And Brother Hudson got under conviction about being a soul winner. And he started going out into the highways and hedges and witnessing to people. And God used him, built a great church. He said this, the only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to Christ. That's heavy, isn't it? The only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to Christ. All right, so we see the activity of the messengers. We see the audience of the messengers. It says, and they preached in their little community. No. Preach everywhere. They went forth and preached everywhere. We find out there, these messengers were vocal. That's what preached means. Here's what preached means. To publish or proclaim openly something which has been done. We understand that men are called to preach in the sense of serving as a pastor, evangelist, or missionary, but all Christians are called to preach in the sense of proclaiming the gospel. Absolutely true. All Christian men and women, regardless of their experience, their knowledge, or their skills, are called to share the gospel of Christ. I don't think I can talk to people about the Lord. I don't know much Bible. You don't need to know much Bible. Now, I'm all for studying the Bible and learning, and if you don't know much, get your nose in the book and learn. But don't use it as an excuse for not being a witness and a soul winner. I could take you to Romans and show you the Romans Road where you need to know about five verses of Bible to show to a lost person, to show them their need of Christ and how to get to Him. You know, when I got saved, I didn't know much. But I knew this. I had been shown the scriptures that I was a sinner, hell was my penalty, and the only way of escaping hell was in Jesus Christ and faith in Him. That's all you need to know to get saved. We've had children lead other people to Christ. Acts 4, verse 20. I like this testimony. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. These apostles couldn't keep quiet. The messengers were vocal. The recipients were varied. Look what else it says. They went forth and preached everywhere. Here's a statement somebody made. I thought it was, man, it's a great statement. You listen? You cannot witness to the wrong person. Isn't that interesting? You cannot witness to the wrong person. It's interesting. You know, when these fellows went out to preach, they didn't pick and choose who they were going to. They didn't say, well, let's just stick to the upper-class neighborhood. By the way, there are some churches that do that. They're not interested in bus kids. They're not interested in any of the lower-class neighborhoods. Boy, they just want to get out there where the yuppies and the well-to-do are living. That's not what these fellows did. They went everywhere. I like to say the gospel net catches everything and anything. When you go out with that gospel net, you never know what you're going to catch. That's scary sometimes. You know, there was a time when the Apostle Peter even questioned, should he witness to the Gentiles? And boy, God made it clear to him, didn't he? He let down that sheet and he said, don't you make unclean what I've made clean, Peter. And boy, right after that, Peter went right to Cornelius, the Gentile. Jesus Himself. Think about the people He ministered to. He said to tell John the Baptist that to the poor the gospel is preached. He went to the poor. He talked to that rich young ruler. He talked to the tax collector Zacchaeus that nobody liked. He even talked to that woman of Samaria when he sat on the well, married 5 times. See, Jesus made a statement in John 6:37. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. He don't turn anybody away. He'll take anybody. Anybody that will take Him. He gave the parable of the feast. He invited 3 groups of people. The rich, those in the streets, and those who were in the highways and hedges. He included everybody. And that's how we ought to be. We don't need to pick the people that we're going to witness to. Just go out and start witnessing to people and let God pick the people. See who God will put in your path. Notice thirdly, the accompaniment. Who's going along with them? Jesus said He would. The Lord working with them. Hey, look up here a minute. Do you get the idea here that Jesus is willing to let us work with Him? Have you ever thought what a privilege that is? You take some young fellow that aspires to be a chef. An emerald calls him up and says, I want you to come and I'm going to have you cook with me. Oh, he would be so. Wow, I get to be on his team. I get to work with him. Can you imagine Paul Meyer of one of the pro basketball teams said, Paul, come on and work with us. You think he'd be amazed and delighted and anxious, and we got something better than any of that. We've got the Lord himself saying, hey, I want you to come work with me, and I'm going to work with you. He promises his presence. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, Paul says this, for we are laborers together with God. We said all four of the Gospels, Jesus says go. But in each of those times, there's a promise. In Matthew 28:20, he says, I am with you always. You're to go, and I'm going to be with you when you go. Mark 16, look at verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Luke 24, 46 to 49, he says, you are witnesses of these things. I send the promise of my Father upon you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you, he said in John 20. And then we get down to the book of Acts. Acts 1 and verse 8. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. See, the Holy Ghost is upon us. He's with us when we go to witness. That's why our witness don't depend on us. It depends on the power of the Holy Spirit and us walking in his power. By the way, he promises that power. He promises to be present. He promises his power. Ah, somebody misspelled his. He said in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Listen, Jesus didn't say, hey, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to send you fellas out. Go to it. He said, no, I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to send you another comforter, and I'm sending you out there, and I'm sending him with you in my person, and so that I will be with you when you go. We don't go alone. He promises his presence. He promises his power. Probably every one of us at one time or another has tried to do something spiritual in our own power. And we've come to the realization very quickly, this is not going to work without him. We've seen our failure, we've seen us fall flat on our face, and it's brought us to the realization, I can't do it without him. We need the power of God. We get the power of God when we connect with God in prayer in our devotional life. He said if we would abide with him, that means we connect to, that means we remain in him. We need to abide in him. Then we can bear much fruit. By the way, he also says, you ready for this? That fruit would remain. Then notice the authentication of the messengers. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Oh my. That authentication means to prove or to show something to be true or genuine. To have something verified. Now, listen, we live in an age where there's a lot of information floating around and transactions being carried on. How often are we called on to authenticate our identity? You ever buy something online, use a credit card? How many of you have? And they want your credit card number. They want the date it expires. What else do they want? That little 3-digit number. To authenticate that you are the person that you're supposed to be. Identification. Same is true when it comes to giving out the message of our faith. When we give the message, there are certain signs, if you will, or indicators that help those who hear the message determine, is this coming from somebody who's genuine? God always had a means of authenticating his messages. Remember the prophets in the Old Testament? How did God authenticate their message? He said if they give a prophecy and it don't come to be accurate, they're a false prophet. I'm not in it. See, he wanted them to be able to discern whether this is true, whether this is right. We come to the New Testament, the disciples, we know that they were able to heal the sick and raise the dead and those kind of things. That was to authenticate their message. They were sign gifts. See, here's the thing. The life of the messenger has to back up the message. Have you ever had somebody who you know is a phony talk to you about something? You say, I don't put any credence in what they're saying. But boy, if you've been watching somebody and what they're saying is backed up by how they're living, you know, I don't want to be unkind towards health food fanatics. But you know, if somebody comes to me and they're sickly and maybe they're grossly overweight and maybe they've got, you know, all kinds of issues and they're telling me, you ought to eat healthy. Huh? But if somebody comes along, you know, and they've got that health food look about them, you know what I'm talking about. I figure it looks like they need a good meal, but anyway. But you say to yourself, or somebody comes along and says you need to exercise. And you know this person never lifts a finger to exercise, and they're telling you, you need to ride a bike, you need to walk, you need to jog, you need to... You're not going to listen to them. But if somebody comes along that you know, hey, they're riding a bicycle 12 miles a day, they're running 5 miles a couple times a week, they're doing this, you're going to say, hey, they're backing up what they're saying with what they're doing. And there's some credence to it. Now, back in this first century, there were some real unusual things God used to confirm the message. We don't have those today. We don't need them today. See, when in the first century they didn't have the written word of God where they could witness to somebody and say, this is what God says, and show it to them. They were giving it to them verbally, so they had to confirm it somehow. And God gave these special gifts. But now we have it written. So we don't need the gifts. What we need is a life that backs up what we say. That's why our message is authenticated. God wants to authenticate our message. He says in Matthew, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He's talking to believers and he's saying, hey, live so you can glorify God and people will be able to see God in you. And then they'll listen to you. God authenticates our message. And it's through good works that our message is authenticated today. We can't raise the dead. We can't heal. We can't speak in tongues. We can't get bit by serpents and not die. We don't have those gifts. What do we have? We have different things God's given us that we need to have in our life that will authenticate, hey, this is the true message. One of them is boldness. Acts 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What made the difference? The boldness of these men. Why? They were willing to stand in the temple, in the gate over there, and preach and proclaim. And they got beat for it. And they came back and did it again. We don't have much of the door-to-door salesman anymore. There used to be the Fuller Brush people, the Kirby vacuum people. Oh, no, no. I'll tell you what, when one of those people knocked on your door, if they were worth their salt as a salesman, they had a boldness. They believed in what they were selling. I was in the store a while back, and they said, they came over to PA, and they said, there's a free gift over at such and such an aisle, blah, blah, blah. I thought, let me go over there and see what this is all about. Well, when I went over there, I knew what it was all about. You ever see the knife demonstrators? Huh? This Ginsu knife, you can cut a tomato so thin you can see through it. You can saw a nail. You can do this. And, you know, those people believe in what they're selling. If they didn't, you'd never buy it. The same holds true in our witnessing. You know, when you talk to people about the Lord, they can sense if you really believe what you're telling them. Hey, wait a minute, preacher. You're talking to Christians. We believe. Do you really believe there's a hell? Do you really believe if this person don't get saved, they're going to go there? Do you really believe you might be the only witness they ever get? Boldness. Compassion. Acts 20:31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. That's Paul's testimony. He's talking to the Ephesians, reminding them, when I was with you for the space of 3 years, I was at it all the time, night and day, warning people. Why? He cared. Jude 22, and some have compassion, making a difference. Do you care about people at all? Do you have any compassion for the lost? See, when we go soul winning, we don't go for bragging rights. How many of you have had the Jehovah's Witness knock on your door? Did you ever feel like they're just trying to get you so they can put a notch in their gun? That somehow they were getting some kind of credit or something? They were so adamant about, you know, it's like a salesman. He's not going to leave until he gets you to sign on the dotted line. So they could get a commission. But see, when we go soul winning, that's not what we're after. We're not trying to win somebody so we can go back and say, oh, that's what he said. Praise me. No. It's because we realize, hey, that person's going to die and go to hell. It's a joy to be able to tell people about the Lord. Transformed lives authenticate our message. Look around this room. Probably most of the people in this room could tell you about the abrupt change God made in their life when they came to Jesus Christ. I know mine was 180 degrees. I've shared with you how it was like somebody turned a light switch on. Not being spooky, that's just how God works. He turns people 180 degrees. He changes people. And that authenticates our message. We have a message that does change people. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Well, Somebody said, I'm not the man I want to be, but I thank the Lord I'm not the man I used to be. Then our patience in suffering authenticates our message. Listen, when the world sees us go through trials and tribulations and difficulties in faith, trusting the Lord, then the world says, there's something to this. You know, when the company comes around and says, we're closing this plant, all of you are going to get laid off. And all the people start, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. And the Christian says, my God's going to supply my need. And the Christian has peace. The other people start looking, saying, there must really be something to this. When you go through difficult circumstances, when you lose a loved one, when we go through all the trials and tribulations of life, and we maintain the testimony of the Lord and the joy of the Lord, they say there's something to it. Gracious words authenticate the message. Luke 4:22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? In Colossians 4:6, Paul says this. You listening? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Gracious words. That can be tough. And we all fail there at times, don't we? We're not as gracious as we ought to be. But when we are, it's testimony. Holy living authenticates our faith. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. See, in our time now, the 21st century Christian time, a lot of Christians have come to this idea that if you want to win the world, we're going to have to become like the world. We're going to have to compromise some things and get down where they are so that we can reach them. Listen, friend, that's unbiblical. And can I say this? It's not working. You might build a crowd that way, but you're not going to build Christians that way. And you know, these mega churches, and they found that out. One of the leaders of one of those mega churches even came out and said it. He said, we've managed to build a great ministry, a big ministry in numbers, but we failed to build Christians. Holy living. I don't know why people are so against holy living, but it seems like they are. Getting out the message of our faith, it's our responsibility. What's the matter? Number 7. Oh, that's one of them that got lost. Uh-oh. How do I get back there, Pastor Meyer? Got to return. Let me get back there. Which one did I miss? Good works, boldness, compassion. I didn't get what? Oh, I'm sorry. That's where we started. Good works. Okay, I missed that one. Good works. Mark it down, number 7. And we know that. When we are, and this ties in with compassion, when we are sensitive to other people's needs, and we're willing to help a neighbor, we're willing to help someone that we know has a need, and do good works, it speaks volumes. When we do things we don't have to do, it speaks volumes. People say, why are you doing that? I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm doing it for Jesus Christ. That's why I'm doing that. And there's so many times when we see people who are having problems and have a need, and they're unsaved people. And we have a great opportunity to do something in kindness. Pastor Meyer mentioned when he was preaching a few weeks ago about some ideas about things you can do to reach people and influence people for Christ. And he talked about a ministry, I think a teen ministry had it, where they went to a supermarket on a rainy day with umbrellas, and they waited for people to come out, and they walked them to their car and helped them load their groceries. And of course, people want to pay you and all that. No. I'm doing this for Jesus. I don't want anything. I'm doing it for the Lord. And you know when that happens, they get in their car, and they start down the road, and they say, boy, that's different. It'll affect them. And so we need to have the good works. Those are all things that authenticate that what we're saying is really true. And we believe it. And we live it. And then people will hear the message. See, unfortunately, we've all talked to people who said, I'm not interested in hearing what you have to say because I know so-and-so and they claim to be a Christian. And then we hear what comes next. I've seen how they live, or they ripped me off, or they did this, or they did that. And they don't want to hear anything about. See, the message wasn't authenticated. It's been destroyed. Too often that happens. That's our challenge for tonight. The message of faith. We have it, just like those 11 had it. And I'm sure glad they didn't keep it to themselves. I'm sure glad they did exactly what the Lord said to do. And you know, if you're saved here tonight, you ought to be thinking right now, not only are you glad they did what they were supposed to do, but somebody else did because you're saved. Somewhere along the line, somebody told you about the Lord. Somebody shared the message. Salvation by grace through faith. It's not your good works. It's not your religion. Jesus loves you and He'll save you. And you came to Christ. Aren't you glad somebody told you? Well, why don't you go tell somebody else? Why don't you take that message to people who need to hear it? Why are you sitting on it? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I saw something on a computer somebody had put up. I can't remember the exact pictures, but to the best of my recollection, it was a picture of rich man, poor man, and a rich man had a lot, a poor man had nothing. Then there was another picture. Two graves. Rich man, poor man. We all come to that. Rich man's going to the grave, poor man's going to the grave. Listen, you're trying to get all the riches of this world, you're not taking them with you. Better you put your energy into doing what Jesus told you to do. You can take those kind of treasures with you. Let's pray. Father, You've challenged us from Your word tonight. We need to heed the challenge. Speak to our hearts about this matter of being the witnesses we need to be, giving out the message to Too often we sit on it. Too often we keep it to ourselves when there's a world that really needs it. I know they're often not receptive. Many times we get rejected. But Lord, you didn't tell us to quit. We're just supposed to take the message. What happens is up to you. So help us to be bold. Thank you that you said you'd go with us. But whenever we go, we can count on the fact we're not alone. You're right there with your power, your protection, your enabling. And Lord, when you take that word of God and apply it to somebody's heart and they get saved, it's not us, it's you. We thank you for it. Help us to heed what we've heard and yield to the commands you've given. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.